Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He was only a witness to the light. The true light that gives light and life to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. Yet the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The light has gathered, and we celebrate in hope, love, joy, and peace, which are all central characteristics of our Emmanuel, God with us, whose light shines in the Christ candle this Christmas. Light is the central image of God's presence throughout Scripture, a pillar of fire to give them light. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and now the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus will declare with his own lips, "I am the light of the world." And we celebrate tonight his birth, the one who is the light. We know that he comes precisely because the people are walking in darkness. We don't need a flashlight at noon on a sunny day, but once the sun goes down, we need streetlights, headlights, and other lights, any light we can muster. In Jesus, everyone and everything is illuminated. The light of all mankind. It comes to dispel all our darkness. And he shines everywhere where there is darkness. Jesus is the one who finally reveals the world and all its inhabitants for what they truly are. And with deep love and compassion, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, sees our every gift, every flaw, and chooses to wrap us in his warm light. This is the very foundation of the good news. Let's pray. God of all light, we come before you with so many bruises, broken, and cracked apart. Thank you for shining your light into these cracks. Bring your healing presence to our deepest need. We know that in our lives and in this world, there is still great darkness. Help us to see the darkness for what it is, that we might not fall under its seductive sway, but send us into places of great need with the godly virtues of your kingdom, that we might live as lanterns for your light. And may we be reminded that the light of the world is first revealed in the humble simplicity of a little child, who we are now compelled to receive in childlike faith, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around him. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to him. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. During this time of Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We celebrate that the promises that God had made so many centuries before had finally become true. When Isaac and Abraham were going to make a sacrifice and there was no sacrifice, and Isaac said, "Father, we have the wood and we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice that we will bring?" And Abraham said to his son then, he said, "God will provide the lamb." That was way back halfway through Genesis in the first book of the Bible. And the entire Old Testament is a story of how God was preparing his people, how he was setting them apart, how he was showing them that they could not do it on their own, that there was a price to pay for the sin that had entered the world, and man alone was incapable of satisfying that sin. And so God said, and he promised, that he himself would provide the lamb, that he would become the sacrifice, because that is the only sacrifice that is worthy to appease the sin that we have involved ourselves in. And so as we celebrate Christmas, we do not believe that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. But we do believe that he came into the world, and the 25th just seems like the best time for us to do it. And so we celebrate that God fulfilled his promise, that God said that he would provide the lamb, and he provided that lamb in the form of a son. And that son lived through hardship and temptation his entire life, and yet he never faltered. He never took his eyes off of the mission that God had given him. Scripture says that as soon as he was able to eat on his own, he knew the difference between right and wrong, and he would always choose what is right. And so when we celebrate the incarnation, we are celebrating that God, his word is true, that we can believe that the word of God is true. We know that Jesus, eventually, he came to the cross, and he was that sacrifice to reconcile God and the sin of mankind. And it is only because he was born into this world, and that is what we celebrate, his incarnation. Because without the incarnation, all of this is meaningless. Without the incarnation of Christ, we are barking up the wrong tree, as they say. But we have trust, and we can believe that Christ was born. We can believe that he was a man, and that he faced all the temptations that we have faced. Scripture says that he has faced everything that we have faced. There is nothing that we cannot bring to him. And he will show us, if we are willing to listen, how to overcome those things. Because when he comes to that point of sacrifice, reconciliation is made. Each and every one of us can stand before the throne of God and claim to be children of God because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. It doesn't matter what you have done in your life. It doesn't matter what has been done to you. The blood of Christ will overcome any trauma, any depression, any anxiety, any addiction, because it is the power of God. It is the blood of Christ that has defeated death, so that we can stand in God's presence for eternity because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. Because he humbled himself. He came down from heaven. He lived as a carpenter. He was born in a cave or a stable. He was born in a food trough. This was not the entrance that a king deserved. And yet he humbled himself for us. So the bar is very low for us. We don't have to reach to any height in order to come to Christ, because Christ wants us to come to him as we are. And if we come to him, if we will give him our burdens, he will take them on himself. And he will give you a new burden, a light burden. It could be hardly called a burden, because it would be a joy and a peace and a hope that is unmatched by anything in this world. There is no gift under the tree that can equal the gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. He is willingly and freely offering it if you will only accept it. We're going to sing a final song now. because I told somebody that I'd let them get out of here by 8 o'clock because they have food to pick up. So if you would like to line up around the sanctuary, we will light these candles and we will sing one final song.